Genesis chapter 22. This is the trial of Abram's faith in the offering up of his son Isaac. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. The word means to test Abram. The devil tempts us because he wants to bring out the bad, and his motives are wicked. But God, when he tests us, his motives are good. Whether it's a test or a temptation depends upon the one bringing it. The devil's heart is bad. He always brings temptation. God's heart is good, but he always brings tests. God will test us. He knows what we are, but he wants us to find out what we are. And the only way we find out what we are is when we go through tests. God tests us all the time. As Abram's turn to be tested, it's a very hard test, a very severe test. Abram says, "Here am I." And he said, "Take now thy son." And God knows it's thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. So he's really getting to the heart. "Get thee into the land of Moriah," that's in the region of Jerusalem, the hill country where Jerusalem is, "and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." And it's believed that that mountain is actually where the Temple Mount is now, and the Dome of the Rock is built over the rock on that mountain. And then it's commonly believed that that was the place where this test and trial was carried out. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. So he didn't delay, he didn't put it off. God told him to do this, and early in the morning he gets up to do it. That's swift obedience, isn't it? Even though it's a very hard test. He took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, cleaved the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went on to the place of which God had told him. Then verse 4, "Then on the third day Abram lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." So he's going to carry out the deed. He's determined to carry out the deed. But he still believes that he'll be coming back with his son, because he believed probably that God could raise the dead. God asked him to do this. He knew Isaac was the son of promise, and he knew that God would have to raise him from the dead. So there's death and resurrection in the mind of Abram when he goes here. The Lord is using this test to be a picture and a type of the Father and the Son and what happened at Calvary. And you notice that the Father and the Son go away far off, beyond sight and beyond reach of anybody else. They're not to see what happens. You stay here. I and the Son will go afar off to the mount and will worship. And that's what Calvary was like, wasn't it? The Father and the Son, far off. Yes, there were people around the cross, but they didn't really see what was going on. There was something going on between the Father and the Son at the cross. We're really afar off, but we don't see that. We don't understand all what went on. We know he died for our sins. We know he died in our stead. We know that the Father punished sin upon him as he's bearing it on the cross. We know all of that theology. But really, we're far off, and we don't really see all of them, or what it all meant, what it was like. Only the Father knows what it was like. And only the Son knows what it was like. How deep the waters were that night that he crossed, we do not know. But he knew because he went through them. And the Father knew because he brought him through them. So the Father knew and the Son knew. Abram said unto his young men, Abide ye here by the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He even had to carry it. He had to bear his own cross. He had to bear the wood that would burn him and consume him. Christ bearing his own cross went to the place called Golgotha. He took the fire in his hand, because that's going to consume the wood for the burnt offering, and a knife, because that's going to shed his blood. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, now he's a grown lad at this time, he's not a wee tiny boy. He could resist the father, he could fly at any time, but he doesn't. My father, he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Isaac is putting two and two together now. Going up into the mountain, there's no sheep about, there's nothing about that's going to be consumed. And he's asking these questions. He's beginning to suspect now. And of course, this is breaking Abraham's heart. And as a prophet, in verse 8, he says these marvelous words. My son, it's all tender, you see. It's all tender. This is a really heart-wrenching episode. But he says these powerful words. God will provide himself in them. And you know, that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. He is the God who provided himself in them. That's an amazing thing. Not just that God will give a lamb. God will provide himself. And that's the comfort of the gospel. So they both of them went together. They came to the place where God told them of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son. Tied the sacrifice to the horns. Laid him on the altar upon the wood. He's bound without resistance, picturing the willingness and voluntary nature of it. He just obeys his father. He just does what his father wants him to do. He must have been a good boy. And the Lord Jesus was a good son, and he obeyed his father as he's bound on the wood and bound on the cross for the sacrifice. Abraham stretched forth his knife and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thine hand upon the lamb, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. You can hardly read this chapter without thinking of John 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Only son, thy son. These are expressions throughout this portion. And anywhere you read of an only son, you have to think of Christ. You haven't withheld him from me. No, that's true. Abraham did not withhold his son from God. And God didn't withhold his son from us either. And then Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. So here's a substitute. A substitute for Isaac. How glad Isaac is there's a substitute. And there's so much in that verse. Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Hebrew there can mean either. The Lord can provide, or the Lord will see. But the sense is, the Lord will see the need, and he doesn't just see the need and ignore the need, he provides for the need. He sees and he provides. And that's what God in the gospel does. He sees the need of sinners and he provides. He's Jehovah Jireh. He sees that we're condemned sinners and we're lost and we're in a pitiful state. But he doesn't just see that. He provides mercy and he provides grace and he provides salvation. He provides a cross and he provides his son. He gives the provision of the gospel. Jehovah Jireh. And this supper reminds us of that, doesn't it? This is my body. This is my blood. This is the provision that you need. This is what you need for everlasting life. And this is what I give. I give my body. And I give my blood. I provide it. because I see that you need it. I'm Jehovah Jireh. I provide for your forgiveness of sins. And child of God, we should be comforted today, shouldn't we? Because the Lord has provided for us. So we just trust in Him. And we rest in Him. And this communion should give us assurance of all of this. And that's why we keep it, for our comfort. Let us pray then. We just pray and seek the Lord.